Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
On TV.
Tonight, it's presented by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalise and
come get some!
Yeah! I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael and Don.
Charlie's 8, correct?
No, he's not. He's 9.
Just angry. I understand correcting me. It's important, but he was anger, like a fit of rage.
I know how old the twins are.
How old?
They're 5.
Mm-hmm. 6. No, they're 6, Michael.
I know
6.
Did you hear that? Oh, yeah. He didn't even know after all that. Good evening to Michael.
Because I'm in great aerobic shape.
Good evening to Michael.
You go down. Instead, I mean, you turned it around.
What were you talking about, Michael?
Good evening to Don.
You get the name on the show, I get the red velvet cake.
Let's say good evening to Don.
I'm an absolute slob.
He was searching for the slob word. He was going to go deeper.
Hold on. I'm going to kill this dog. You guys talk about something. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
I'll give you a topic.
Let's say good evening to Don again.
All right, fat, disgusting slob.
Don again.
I would go with Nancy and the three yo-yos.
Don again.
I was like pounding Taco Bell.
Good evening to our friend Peter.
We still support the Red Bulls. Michael and I just want some Red Vel.
And our dear, dear friend Richard in Manhattan.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Richard.
Yeah. You think he was knee-deep in a molar right then?
Yeah.
He might have been,
by the
way.
He had his foot on someone's chest ready to pull out the molar.
If there's any dentist in this world who I think is standing on someone's chest and just yanking, it's Richard.
And was it Michael's brother-in-law?
Yeah, he did that to me.
Is that true?
Yeah. He was getting a molar out, and he just couldn't do it. Because I'm his brother-in-law, he didn't have any decorum, so he put his knee up against my chest.
This isn't pizza on the chest. This was foot on the chest.
This was knee on the chest. Yeah.
By the way, if in case anyone's wondering, you may recall from yesterday's program when we spoke to Ariel Helwani about the Tyson Jake Paul fight and a little bit about the Ngannou Joshua fight today. Maybe you're wondering, well, whatever happened to that Ngannou Joshua fight in Riyadh? Where does that stand?
Where does it stand?
Should be just about underway, right?
It is the first round of the last undercard match.
Ah. You were worried about this.
Don, it is 2:09 a.m. Riyadh time.
Why did they do that then? I mean, wouldn't they want to have, if you're DAZN, wouldn't you want it in prime time or 8 o'clock on a Friday? So if you're going to start at 2:09, why not start at 6 in the morning?
Because then you wouldn't have the main event. You don't want to have the main event at 6 in the morning.
Well, they have it at 2 in the morning.
Well, probably after that. I mean, they haven't finished. Because how long between fights?
It's good. They got it with ring walk. I'm sure they'll try to hurry up. They won't go stalling with a lot of packages and talking. I'm sure they'll try to get to it. But, Don, you're right. Even if this fight ends in a knockout in 2 minutes, it's still going to be another 25, 30 minutes before they can start. And this could go the distance. This is 12 rounds.
It is 11:09 in English, and in England, and Joshua is English, so couldn't be that. Maybe that's where they feel their biggest audiences.
That's a great point. You know what?
No, that's point Anthony God. Greek. I don't get the point, God. That's Anthony.
Oh, all right. Well, Greek, guess what? It's a great job by you. You should be proud. Your family should be proud. Michael Lombardi was on with Pat, not wearing a tank top, McAfee, and he was asked why the Giants could be a good landing spot for Russell Wilson.
With him, you just can simply say, look, we're going to bring you in, you're going to compete, and we'll see how you play, and we'll go from there. And I think that's kind of a good thing for your team if he's willing to accept that role. Remember, when Kurt Warner left the Giants, he was not playing well in his NFL career. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Arizona, was the backup there, and then became the starter. And I think those 2 years that he had at Arizona was what got him into the Hall of Fame.
Interesting. I don't know if I see it happening, but nice thought. Of course, if you don't know the news, Russell Wilson did have an exploratory conversation with the Giants. That's how it's being described. He also met with the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier. Here's Kimberly Martin on First Take. Would Russell Wilson make the Pittsburgh Steelers a contender?
What is the most attractive thing about Russell Wilson right now? Is it the play or is it the price tag? And if the answer is the price tag, that in itself answers the question. In that, first of all, the Steelers aren't even a legit threat in their own division. Hear me again. In the AFC North, where you have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, you have the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco. We'll figure out where he is. And then you've got the Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow coming back. I'm not disparaging Russell. So when I look at Russell and I think about where he could fit, does he make the Steelers better? Yes. A legit threat in the AFC? No.
Yeah, but that's not fair to him because it could be Tom Brady going to the Steelers. Would they be a legit threat against those other teams?
No, I agree. That's the problem. That's what I meant. Like, they're not a team that is ready, and if you get them a veteran quarterback, they're in business. I just don't see it that way.
But they did make the playoffs last year with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, can we not oversell that playoff appearance?
But they did.
But as we pointed out earlier, making the playoffs is what Pittsburgh does.
But it shouldn't be dismissed.
At no point last year did I think this was a funky team that's loaded and could go on a run. Maybe I'm wrong. Don, did you ever feel that way?
No, but I still think they see value in a playoff round, maybe win a playoff round. And as the caller said, Josh, what if Burrow gets hurt again? Now all of a sudden you're in second place. And if I can be a 10-win team with Russell Wilson, you wouldn't want that? That doesn't put you in at least some kind of a conversation, even though it may not be to win the division, but you might be able to pounce if there are injuries.
And not every team is the Yankees. I mean, some teams see value in making the playoffs.
And by the way, Kurt Warner, before he went to the Giants, in his last 2 years in St. Louis, so 02 and 03, because of injuries, he started 7 games and made 9 appearances before he went to the Giants. 4 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 1,796 yards passing. He was done.
Wow.
He was done.
So Lombardi's right, because then the Cardinals, the second act got him to the Hall of Fame.
Now, with the Giants, and again, this is a different era, in 04, before he was benched, 2,054 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So there was no indication whatsoever that he would find it again. Russell Wilson's numbers have been much better than that. So could he go to the Giants, the Steelers, the Raiders, put together decent numbers, maybe sneak into the playoffs and parlay it into a second life?
Sure.
I think there's more evidence of that than there was for Kurt Warner.
Listen, if the conversation is turning it into a second life, I think he could do that anywhere. I think if he goes and puts together a good representative season, people are going to go, you know what? Maybe there's gas in the tank here. He's had that good a history.
Yeah, but I think the whole idea is, This is a wait station. Wherever he goes to this year is just to hang out, put up some big numbers, and then hopefully get the multi-year contract. So you don't think if he goes to Pittsburgh, balls out, say 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, throws for 4,000 yards, 10-7, go to the playoffs, win a playoff game, you don't think that somebody's going to offer him maybe a 2-3-year contract?
Yep.
And he keeps his nose clean, he doesn't bother anybody.
There are so many ifs here. I mean, I hear you, man.
Oh, yeah. You can start being a nozzle again, and then we'll find out be a third team that didn't want a part of him. But I don't think that'll happen. Now, he might sign a contract going into 2025 and become a nozzle again, But this year, I think whoever gets him is going to be able to take advantage
of
the best of Russell Wilson.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's my take on this. Michael, tell me if you understand what I'm saying. I don't think that Russell is he's one of these guys who's acting up and is thus a nozzle. I don't think it's an act that he can pull together. Like, you hope Antonio Brown's going to come in. He's playing with Tom Brady. Let's just hope he can keep his nose clean. I don't think it's one of those situations. I think it is literally just his personality.
Right. I think you're right.
I think that's a good point.
He's not like acting out. He's not a bad guy at all.
No, right.
He's just a Nas.
And you're so right. I don't know that he's going to gel with the team. But it seems like no one wants this guy.
Let me put it into football language. Bad teammate. I guess that's what they said at the end of Seattle and his time in Denver. He's not a great teammate. And that's the death
note. But you could be a better I think you can improve the type of teammate you are. But then it's that thin line. Are you a bad teammate because you're a nozzle and you can't control yourself?
I just think that I don't know if he spent enough time in Denver for them to realize this, but my theory in Seattle always was he was a phony. They couldn't buy into his leadership because they just didn't know what he was all about.
My guess is, I don't know. He would have to put up some sort of season for that reputation to go away. On now what would be essentially a fourth regime for him. I don't know what kind of... And does he have the skill set to balance that out? Where, Michael, you're signing him at 36 years old to a multi-year deal to be your guy to lead your team into the future. I do not see it.
Well, I mean...
And I was a fan of his in his prime.
That I would push back on a little bit. You know, what's more attractive, the price or the talent? If it was Patrick Mahomes, and you only had to pay $1.2 million, the price would be the most attractive.
Yeah.
To get a quarterback at that money.
In a cap sport.
Yeah.
That's tremendous to be able to get that important a player for basically free.
And he's not, all due respect to Tommy DeVito, he's not a backup quarterback. He's a starting quarterback that's been to countless Pro Bowls.
No, of course. And at his prime, he was... Russell Wilson was the ultimate quarterback in this league that, as an opponent, I hated my team playing against.
Guy's been to two Super Bowls and one bad call away from two in a row. Right. Wins in a row.
Don, how many times were you watching the Giants play Seattle and Russell Wilson had a 3rd and 14 and you just knew he was going to pick it up?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was that guy.
He was dangerous. He was down. I think we're past that.
Dangerous, if you will.
Now, I think he's past that. I don't think he'll ever be like MVP quality, but for the price, if he goes out there and balls out with 29, 30 touchdown passes for like nothing. But now the question will become, all right, you've benefited from this audition. Now the team that's got to give him multi-years after the fact has to worry about is the pre-contract going to kick in with Russ? Is he going to start to be what he was in Seattle and in Denver? And that could be a problem. But maybe this is a humbling experience and we'll get a different player.
Because yeah, I doubt it.
I think he's towards the end, but I think there's still something left.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that kind of personality. Maybe I'll be wrong. People do change, and they deserve the opportunity to change. Let's stay with quarterbacks for one more second. Graziano was on with our good friends, Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaum, Carlin versus Joe. And Graziano expects that Kirk Cousins will be signed quickly.
I think probably right away in free agency. When he went to free agency the last time from Washington, it was first day. I think a legal tampering, quote-unquote legal tampering period opens on Monday, and I think we should have some news early in that window. I'd be very surprised, unless there's multiple teams bidding it up. But I think my sense is that Cousins has a pretty good idea what his market's going to be. And if Minnesota can't re-sign him by the time they have to make other plans, then I think we'll know where he's headed.
It's interesting. Cousins, in spite of the fact Cousins doesn't have the Super Bowl, he's the same age as Russell Wilson. He's coming off of an injury. And yet, I'd be way more excited about Kirk Cousins
because
than Russell
Wilson. There's certain quarterbacks, Peter. You know what their charm is. You know what you're going to get.
Yep.
You know, you're going to get between 3,500 and 4,000 yards out of them. It's probably going to be at least double touchdowns to interceptions. Won't be anything special. Won't win an MVP. Might even go to a Pro Bowl. But you know what you're going to get. You can count on it. You can build around it and see what happens.
I'm curious if how Don's going to feel about this. My guess is he'll be thrilled. Don, have you heard, according to Anthony DeComo here, a tweet he put up, over the offseason, the Mets installed LED lighting at Citi Field.
Yeah, you mean the kind the Yankees have at the stadium already.
Oh, my God. They really? Had it at the Patriots. It's not a big deal. Nobody invented this, all right?
In addition...
Someone invented it, Don. I don't think it just happened.
No, but nobody in baseball. I'm just saying that don't take no. You don't take a win for this. All right, this isn't
the Yankees
Yankee
had
w,
it
okay?
first.
Finish so I can answer, Peter.
In addition to being more energy efficient, it also allows them to toggle the lights instantly and sync the lights with music. And they have already demonstrated for Edwin Diaz what it will look like when he comes into a game. You excited?
No.
Come on.
Just go out there. Listen, I liked the Timmy trumpets, or whatever it was. It was fun.
It
was exciting while it was there. But what the little flashy lights, I'm supposed to get excited? I'm a 56-year-old man. When I see it at a Yankee game, I think somebody pulled a plug. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, that's supposed... Peter, talk about taking a side. Wouldn't you take me aside if I told you I'm really excited about that, Peter? I can't wait. If I text you, ooh, it's going to be lights time.
What moves you, Don, really? I mean, does anything move you anymore?
Yeah, Diaz coming out and getting a save.
That's it.
I told you, I got movement from the Timmy trumpets. It was fun. Then it got old and it died. The Mets killed it like they kill everything.
You didn't even watch the dunk contest. So that floor didn't move you. I'm 63 and that floor moved me.
But you'll be 67 on Saturday.
Didn't that move you, Peter, the technology?
I did not think I'd like it. And I will say I found it to be very distracting during the three-point shootout. I didn't like the color. But they did some things that were really cool.
When they turned that floor into the Boston Garden? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, when the floor turned into the parquet, it was awesome. Fun things you could do. I mean, Don would never care, though, Michael. If you think he would, you don't even know him.
Let me set the stage for you. All right? It's July 30th. Mets have a 2-1 lead on the Dodgers in the ninth.
They're 20 games out.
In comes Diaz,
and the lights
are flashing, and everybody, and like Michael said, they're 20 games under 500. What do I care? Now, if they're hot, like the Timmy Trumpets thing, what made it fun was the Mets were red hot, they were winning, they were in first place. It was fun. And then it petered out, whatever, no offense to you, Peter. But no, am I going to get excited about lights blinking when Diaz comes out?
Nick, no, you know what, though? If you brought Marco and Jalen there, they might get excited from that. They're not trying to reach you, Don. They're trying to reach younger people.
Well, I'm sorry. The question was asked to me. He didn't ask me how do you think Mets fans are going to feel about it. He didn't ask me how Marco or Jalen would feel about it. He asked how I felt about it.
I think you have no soul anymore. You have a black heart.
And I knew the answer, and I got exactly what I wanted.
And is that wrong?
That you have a black heart? You have no emotion anymore.
63-year-old Michael wouldn't be excited about it.
Guys, I wasn't excited last night when my Celtics lost again to the Nuggets.
Two in a row!
Let's hear from Coach Michael Malone, who's trash-talking Celtics fans.
Oh, yeah. No, it was another playoff atmosphere for sure. As we talk pregame, you got to give the Celtic fans credit. They always come out strong. But you know what we say, right? They can take that L on the way out, baby.
I think that was bigger than just a loss, Peter. I think this West Coast swing has cost Jason Tatum the MVP.
Wow, good.
It's a couple of losses, man.
Yeah, big losses.
After an 11-game winning streak.
I get it. Brian Windhorst agrees with me.
So who's going to get it?
What's a reverse point guard?
It should be Jokic.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the way.
Oh, but you know what? Then let's not do shows anymore.
Oh, wow.
We have to project, don't we?
Wow. Yeah, but now you're being that guy.
No, you're being
a jerk. I got to go. That's going to do it for ENN on this Friday evening. Brought to you by our good friends at Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Dodge Powershot Days Jeep Celebration event and Ram Truck Month.
Listen, man, if you can't exchange, and don't play the game, all right? If you can't throw punches, get out of the ring.
I just throw a good punch then.
I'm done. You know who throws a good punch? Who says it the way it should be done? Daniel Craig.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.